Well, good morning to you. It's a joy to be with you this morning and to be able to share in God's Word together. We at Central here are a church that seeks the transformation of our lives and our communities and the world through the renewing work of Jesus Christ for the glory of God. And we are in the middle of a series focusing on questions that Jesus asks to awaken us to know Him more deeply and to know ourselves more deeply. So would you pray with me as we seek Him to do just that again this morning? Our gracious Savior, as we draw near to Your Word, would You please draw near to us? Take Your truth and plant it deep in us, and give us open minds to see and embrace that truth as Your life-giving Word. Give us a clearer vision of Your goodness, Your power, and Your love, so that our hearts awaken to Your healing Word with fresh desire to know You and to love You in return. Amen. Would you please read with me from John chapter 5? You'll find this on page 4 in the worship folder. And I'm just going to read verses 1 to 8 this morning, just 1 through 8. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, in Aramaic called Bethesda, which has 5 roofed colonnades. In these lay a multitude of invalids, blind, lame, and paralyzed. One man was there who had been an invalid for 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be healed?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up, and while I'm going, another steps down before me." And Jesus said to him, "Get up, take up your bed, and walk." And at once the man was healed, and he took up his bed and walked. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God will stand forever. 38 years. That's how long the man had been waiting. Waiting for relief, waiting for help, waiting for healing. And if you were in that man's place, how would you reply when Jesus asks, "Do you want to be healed?" I mean, what a weird question. Isn't it obvious? Why would we ever answer no? Doesn't everyone who's sick want to be well? But you see, Jesus is a smart and wise teacher who knows the human heart better than anyone. And he never asks pointless questions. See, the kind of healing that Jesus offers to us to meet our very deepest needs is the kind of healing that can only be received by faith, which means that we have to be willing to respond to the healing that he's offering to us with trust that Jesus will give us that very healing that we need. And Jesus knows that our answer to that offer is not always yes. So I want to examine with you this morning some biblical reasons why Jesus' question makes sense for us and why it is such an important question that he addresses to all of us. Do you want to be healed? The first reason why Jesus' question makes sense is this. Sometimes our desire is weak or lacking altogether. Sometimes we just don't want to be healed. And this problem comes in lots of varieties. Let's explore some of those different variations on this theme together. Sometimes our desire is just too small. We are content with too little. We see this in the Bible when God brings the people of Israel out of Egypt. God performs miracle after miracle to subdue the mightiest empire in the world at that point and leads them out to new freedom and a new mission. But when they face the first signs of challenge and discomfort in the wilderness, they complain this way. "Oh, would that we had died by the hand of the Lord in Egypt when we sat by the meat pots and ate bread to the full. Wasn't that great? For you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Think of this. The Creator of all things has rescued his people and brought them out with a mighty hand and outstretched arm to make them a central part of his mission to save the whole world. And their preoccupation is who gives them the best meals today. Their vision and their desires were too small. C.S. Lewis describes this problem very well with this image. He writes that too often we act like children who are content to play with mud pies in a slum because they cannot even imagine what it would mean to have a holiday at the sea. Sometimes we don't want to be healed because our vision and our desires are too small, and we are content with far too little. Brothers and sisters, what desires preoccupy your hearts today? What makes you content? What do you seek for contentment? If we find ourselves longing most strongly and most often for things like money or sex or success at work or popularity with our friends or likes on Facebook or the approval of our parents or teachers, then for us, these desires are too small. All of these things are fine in their proper place, but they will not ultimately satisfy or heal us. Nothing other than God Himself can give us the healing and the life that we truly need. So do you want to be healed? We can only keep on answering yes if we can lift the eyes of our heart to the one who is big enough to heal the heart from the deepest sickness and satisfy its deepest longings. But sometimes our desire is just absent altogether. Sometimes we don't want to be healed because we have come to love our sickness. In John 3, we read this: "The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil." And even those of us who have come into the light to receive and to follow Christ, we know that there is still a love of darkness that remains in us, a love that resists the healing that Jesus wants to give us. I recently watched a great portrayal of this whole dynamic in a film that portrays the story of Moby Dick. Patrick Stewart plays Captain Ahab with great intensity in his Patrick Stewart way. The captain, you know, as you know the story, pursues revenge against the great white whale, and he is nearly driven mad by his manic desire to get revenge. And so he drives his ship into more and more dangerous situations and more dangerous waters in pursuit. And his first mate is increasingly distressed. His first mate appeals to him again and again and again to turn his desires to other goals, to preserve their cargo, to preserve the safety of their crew, to get everyone home safely. But for Ahab, every other desire fades into nothingness because he has come to love his dream of vengeance. He's come to love his desire to pursue this path of darkness, and it consumes him. And it not only kills him, but almost all of his innocent crew as well. Now, this is a fictional tale that speaks a great truth. We can come to love our sickness so much that we don't want to be healed. We come to love the anger that feels familiar and helps us control others. We come to love the temporary comfort that comes from pornography or alcohol or drugs or food that we turn to when we're angry or sad. We come to love the resentment that feels so justifiable. We come to love the superiority and clarity we feel about the world and the approval we receive from our group of friends whenever we mock or despise some other person or group as the enemy. We come to love the sickness that feels familiar rather than the healing that is unfamiliar. The healing that demands that we change. The healing that demands that we open up in hope for something new and face an unknown future by the grace of God. A healing that makes us stop trying to find comfort by filling our desires with things that we can control. Do you want to be healed? We can only keep on answering yes if we have a source of light that helps us see our sickness for what it is, and a source of goodness that is more desirable to us than the sickness and sin of our hearts that is harming us and harming others too. But sometimes our desire is weak. It's the right desire, but it's weak, and it's contested. We want to be healed, but we want it too little, too weakly, too inconsistently, and other desires so easily push it aside. The Apostle Paul describes this inner war in Romans chapter 7 this way. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do right, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inner being, but I see in my members another law waging war against the law of my mind and making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. See, Paul is saying the right desire is in there, but it's locked in a war with so many wrong desires. The image that comes to mind when I think of this is the koi fish in the pond at the botanical gardens. Have you ever seen how the fish act when you're standing on that bridge in the Japanese garden where everybody feeds them? You know, what does that look like? It's just one big teeming mess of fish that are all swimming into each other and pushing each other out of the way in order to get the food. And isn't that exactly what our desires feel like within us at times? Isn't that what the warring desires of our heart can feel like? The right desire is in there, but it has to fight so hard just to get to the top. Here's a small example of how this works out in real life. One of my goals during the past year has been to lose 10 pounds, and I can report today that I only have 15 to go. 2020. It's really hardest for me in the evenings when the battle of the warring desires really heats up. And I say to myself, tonight I'm not going to do it. Tonight I'm going to stick to my plan and I'm not going to eat the things I shouldn't eat right now. But as soon as I think it, all these other desires rush up to push it out of the way and they sound like this. You know, one more day of bad habits won't kill you. You can start again tomorrow. Remember how good that dessert tastes? Wouldn't that be great with this show right now? Remember that stressful situation you endured earlier today? This ice cream will make it feel so much better. Right? It's been a long, hard day, and you deserve it. You deserve it. You won't feel as sad or as angry if you just eat this now. The right desire is in there. But it feels like everything in my mind and my heart and my body just teams up to take it down. If you can relate to this, will you please say amen? Amen, yes. We know what we want, and we know that it's right and good, but it's so tiring to have to keep fighting that war when other desires attack with temptations that are so ferocious and so tempting and so deep. Just give in, and you can have control. Just go for it and you can be significant and get respect. Just give up and you'll feel so much better. Do you want to be healed? We can only keep on answering yes if we have a source of strength that will help the right desires in us become stronger and win the battle for our heart. Finally, sometimes we don't want to be healed because our desire has died. We lose hope that healing will ever come. I think we hear an echo of this in the man's response to Jesus in John 5. When Jesus asks him, "Do you want to be healed?" the man does not immediately respond, "Yes." It seems like he sadly sighs that it just doesn't seem possible. I have no one to help me into the pool. There's no help for me. And when suffering looms large in our life, it is easy to lose sight of hope. It is so easy to allow the darkness to dim the light that kindles our desire for God's glory and goodness. Do you want to be healed? We can only keep answering yes if we have a source of strength and hope that makes it possible and worthwhile to keep on keeping that desire alive. So we see Jesus' question, "Do you want to be healed?" makes sense. Firstly, because it makes us realize that sometimes we just don't want to be healed. But Jesus' question makes sense for another reason, and that's because it has the effect of turning our attention to the one who is asking. What the man in John 5 needed was the presence and power of Jesus, and it's what we desperately need too for the healing of our desires. Jesus is, in fact, the answer to all the problems of desire that we have just named. If our desires are too small, look to the power of Jesus. the Lord of all things, who rules all things and has a great plan to redeem all that is broken in the world, can give us something so much greater to desire. If our desire is absent and we love our sickness and love the darkness, look to the light of Jesus, the Lord who is the infinite fountain of boundless love and everything good, can shine the light of truth in our darkness and give us something so much better to love. If our desire is weak and at war, look to the strength of Jesus. The Lord who is our warrior and our champion can give us strength to fight and win the battle of our heart with the attractive power of what is really good and the healing power that helps us walk in that goodness in the ways that we live. And if our desire has died, look to the hope of Jesus. The Lord who died and rose again can bring life out of death in our lives, and it is a life that no darkness can ultimately overcome. The healing of the heart that you need and that I need can only be found in the one who created our heart, and the one who has resurrection power to heal broken hearts and to kindle desire to want what is good when it seems impossible. The good news today is that the Savior we need is the Savior we have. He was present and available to us. The Lord Jesus Christ is continually with us. He is continually addressing us with the same question, do you want to be healed? And continually extending to us the truth and the beauty and the goodness and the power that we need to kindle hope again, to touch the deepest places of our hearts, to awaken and strengthen the longings that He designed to be satisfied in full in His boundless healing, life, and love. Now, how do we get this healing? How do we get it? Well, we need to be right where that lame man was. Why was he at the pool? He went to the pool because it was the place where he knew he could find God's healing power. And what he found was God Himself in the person of Jesus. Like that man, we need to dwell in the places where Jesus promises to be at work, places where we can hear Him speak to us most clearly, places where we can receive this healing most powerfully. And where are those places of healing? They are His means of grace. We need to dwell in His Word, where He speaks to us without ceasing, in words that lift our vision and awaken our desire and give life by the power of His Spirit. We need to dwell with Him in ongoing conversation and communion, responding to His words with our response of thanks and confession and lament and requests in everything that we do. We need to dwell in the liturgy of the public worship of God, where God gives Himself to us together in ways that are larger than what we can know when we're alone. We need to dwell among the people of God, where you can draw near to others and they can draw near to you in friendship, the deep healing kind of friendship where we can pour out our struggle with the darkness, our struggle with the ongoing war in our hearts, and our struggle with the loss of hope, where we can find friends who will encourage us toward good desires and lift us up and carry us when we don't have the strength. And all of this takes time. Right desires are like muscles. The more we exercise and cultivate them, the stronger they grow. And that takes repetition. It takes time. We must dwell with Christ in the places of healing grace, not merely occasionally visit. And what do we do when we know that we don't want to be healed and we know that that's a problem? Well, just acknowledge that freely to God. Tell Him that your desires are weak and imperfect and up and down and all over the place, because the Lord knows that already. And like a good physician, like a good shepherd, Jesus' heart of compassion is drawn to us precisely because we are weak and faltering, precisely because He delights to heal, because He is most glorified when He can extend to us the healing power that we desperately need. So tell Him freely that you don't want to be healed and ask Him to change your heart and to give you the will and the desire that is for everything right and good. That kind of prayer is a prayer of faith, like the man in the Gospels who received Jesus' compassion and healing from Him when he confessed, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." Friends, we often don't want to be healed, but the God who made you is the Lord of your heart and your desires. And in his presence, there is hope for new desires. By his power, there is hope for the healing of your heart and mine. By opening up to his love, we can want to be healed. And when we turn to him, we will always find the compassion and healing grace of the Lord who loves us. Let's pray. Lord, we are so grateful that you are a healing God, that you are a God of compassion who draws near to us, Lord, precisely when we're weak. Lord, we pray that you would do this transforming work in us to rekindle our desire for everything that's good and right and lovely. Lord, strengthen us, we pray, that we would desire you, to know you, and to walk with you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.